Okay. Pashas Kisavoy. I'll start off with a word that I think we said over many times in the past, but the message rings true over and over and over again. Pashas Kisavoy starts off with the mitzvah of bringing Bikurim. Perichavov, Pasuk Beis, Vakachta, Mereshis, Kopri Hadoma, take from the first of the fruits, Shetovi Miyarzacha, Asha, Hashem Alkecha, Naisei Moch, that Hashem gave to you, the Samta Batana, put it into a basket, the Keli, and bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash. And we all know the Mishnah Bikurim, the Mishnah describes the big celebrations they had when they brought the Bikurim up to Yerushalayim, how the people came out to honor those bringing the Bikurim, and they adorned their animals, bringing the Bikurim and the Kalim, and then the whole production when they brought the Bikurim. And the Gemara in Bava Kama, that Tzadik Beis, the Gemara says, Basa Aniyo Ozol Aniyusa. After an Ani, Aniyus follows. Poverty follows Aniyim. Aniyim have bad mazel, and Ani brings on more Aniyus. And the Gemara says, what do I mean? How do I know this? And the Gemara says, because the din is by Bikurim, when the Ashirim bring Bikurim in their silver baskets. In their gold baskets, the Kayain takes the Bikurim and returns to them their Kalim. Gives them back their gold Kalim, their silver Kalim, their fancy Kalim. And when the Ani brings his Bikurim in his basket of wicker, of branches, of reeds, the Kayain keeps the basket also. So the Ani ends up losing. So Bosa Ani, after the Ani, Ozmana Yusa, Ani's follows, because the Ani ends up losing not only his Bikurim, but he loses his basket also. And what's Takin of Shat? Why is it that the Ashes Kalim are returned? Okay, to be a nice donation to the base of Mikdash, silver Kalim, gold Kalim, and the Ani's Kalim, which isn't worth so much, and forget, the Ani needs it probably, is taken away from him. So, of course, I am part of Motaira, but the Velt's answer that's said by many is the following idea, which is said over many times. And that is, let's turn the clock back. What happens in the Ani's house when it's time to bring Bikurim? And what happens in the Usher's house when it's time to bring Bikurim? In the house of the Ani's out in the field, and he finds the fruits are starting to grow, the first ripe fruits are on the tree. He's all excited. Now he has a chance to be in the kind of mitzvah of Bikurim. So the Ani comes running home, and he says to his wife, you know, the fruits started to grow, they're ripe, and now we can bring Bikurim, and let's be Mekayim the mitzvah. And she says, Oyvei, what are we going to do? We don't even have a basket, we don't even have any keli with which to carry up the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. How can I bring up the Bikurim? And she says, don't worry, I'll make a basket. And she goes, and she gathers together some straw, some branches, some reeds, and with great mysterious nefesh, she weaves together a basket in order to be able to bring the Bikurim. And the Ani brings his Bikurim in that basket that was made with Shem Shemayim to be Mahader, the mitzvah of Bikurim. What happens in the house of the Asher? The workers come into the house, they say to the Asher, boss, the fruits are ready, the fruits are ripe on the trees, time to bring Bikurim. And he says, Bikurim? Truma, Maisa, again, Bikurim, again we have to give. Okay, we'll give again. Okay, he tells the workers quickly, take out the silver keli and put the Bikurim in the silver keli. And he says, wait a minute, last year I used the silver keli, but the neighbors all used gold kelim. It was very embarrassing last year. They came to the Beis HaMikdash with a gold kelim, and I came with a silver keli. Didn't look good. He says to his servants, this year we're going all out. We're going to show the neighbors how to bring Bikurim. Take the fanciest keli that they have, with the gold and the diamonds, the fanciest keli that they have, and put Bikurim on the keli. And bring that keli up to the Beis HaMikdash. When they bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kayin says, keep the keli. Yeah. The Kayin says, take only the Bikurim. Wow. The Asher, whose keli came, Gaiva, Kina, wasn't Hashem Shemayim, the Torah says, return it. I don't want it. That give back. But the Ani's keli, even though it might not be worth so much, the Ani's keli, some benches, some reeds, it's not worth so much. But it came a great mysterious nefesh, Hashem Shemayim, that the Kayin keeps. That's what Hashem wants. Great mysterious nefesh. And that's why the Kayin's keli, the Ani's keli is taken away, by the Kayin. Echra marbe vechra mamit, v'bulvan shichavi libei v'ashemayim. Whether one does a lot or one does a little, the ikir is the kavana that a person has. One of does a little, and it's all he could do, it's just as great as one of does a lot. Okay? You know, we have to ask ourselves honestly, how many times do we do a mitzvah and we're already thinking, what's someone going to think of me because I'm doing the mitzvah? maybe I should do it a little more publicly, or I'll do it in front of somebody else. We have to ask ourselves, are we doing our mitzvah l'shem shemayim, or are we doing it because of an ulterior motive? A mitzvah l'shem shemayim is worth a lot more than a person who does the mitzvah with an ulterior motive. Ain't a chenayim, but the ik is the l'shmo. Of course, shulei l'shmo a person does. But the goal is not to stay shulei l'shmo. The goal is ultimately to come to the l'shmo. A person goes to kindergarten not to stay in kindergarten, to be able to get to first grade. We talk shulei l'shmo,
ba'al l'shmo. All four times.
Okay. I hope you can erase the comments in between. Okay. Perik Chav Ches, Pasuk Beis. The brachas. So the pasuk tells us, Uvol kol brachos ha'elav hisigucha. All these brachas will come upon you, the hisigucha. They'll reach you. They'll catch up to you. The word v'hisigucha is a little bit of an extra word. Uvol kol habrachas ha'ela. All the brachas will come upon you. What is the pasuk getting on? Uvol kol habrachas ha'ela v'hisigucha. They'll catch up to you. They'll reach you. What's the v'hisigucha? So now we said some of this over in the past. The Ben Ish Chai says over a very nice marshal to bring out the point of the pasuk. There was once a couple, and the wife sends the husband out to the marketplace, and she wants him to bring back the best tasting fish that he finds. Fish that tastes the best. But the fish that has the best taste, tastes the best. He doesn't have much money, but his wife wants some good tasting fish. So he goes out to the marketplace, he goes to the peddler selling the fish, and he says, I want the best fish that you have, the one that tastes the best. And the peddler says to him, very small fish, shows him the size of the fish, but its taste is out of this world. There's nothing else like it. But it's very small. And you're going to spend your entire fortune on a small fish. On the other hand, for the same price, I could give you a bigger fish that doesn't taste as good. He says, no, my wife wants a fish that tastes the best. I want a small fish. The peddler realizes it's a waste of money for this honey. Go and spend all his money on a small fish. And he tries again, and he says to him, but I have a big, big fish, which you'll get much more out of, will fill you up. And I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you for half price. And Ani says, no, I want that small fish. It tastes best, that's the one that I want. And the Maicha says, don't be a fool. Don't waste your money. It tastes good, but you're not going to be filled a little bit. I'll sell you the big fish, I'll give it to you for a quarter of the price. The Ani hears a quarter of the price, that clinches the deal. He says, okay, you're right, I agree. And he buys it for a quarter of the price, and it brings home the big fish. His wife takes the fish, she cuts it open, and they find a diamond inside the fish. And they live happily ever after. Says the Ben Ish Chai, what happened? This person tried so hard not to buy that big fish. Had he bought the small fish, he never would have found the diamond. He would have lost out on that bracha. He tried not to buy a big fish. And the Melech kept pushing him. Until finally, no matter how much the Ani pushed away, and didn't want to buy the big fish, he ended up with it. Says the Ben Ish Chai, Uvol kol habracha se'ela v'hisigucha. Sometimes a person is zeicha to a bracha, but we do silly things, we do narisha things, and even though the bracha is waiting, we push it away, we do something silly to push it away, we have the opportunity, and we don't take advantage of it. V'hisigucha. The Torah promises us that I'll send you the brachas, and v'hisigucha, I'll make sure that it reaches you, even if you attempt to push it away. You do something not so smart, and logically you lose your chance, v'hisigucha, you'll be able to achieve it. I'll make sure the bracha will reach you. There's one thing sending the bracha, there's one thing being able to actually take it. I'll send you the bracha, but v'hisigucha, I'll promise you that you'll be able to grab hold of it, be able to take the bracha. The Chiddush Yerim says v'hisigucha has a different meaning. V'hisigucha means, we find unfortunately many times, a person is zeicha to wealth, to hatzlacha, and he can't handle it. He doesn't know what to do with it. And he ends up ruining himself and ruining others because of the great wealth and the great atzlacha that he had. All these brachas will come upon you, the hisigucha. They'll reach you. Not that you're going to have to come down, but just the opposite. Whatever level you're on, the hisigucha, the brachas will go up to you. And you'll stay on the high madrega that you are, and you're not going to end up becoming any lower or falling down because of the success that you have. The Tzadik HaKayin says a similar idea. It says in Perichavches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Unasoncha Hashem L'roish, V'roi L'zonov. Hashem will put you, will make you a head, and not a tail, V'yisa Rak L'mayla, V'roisi L'mata. And you'll be on top, and you won't be on the bottom. And Fet Epsodik, if you're on top, of course you're not on the bottom. So what does the Pasuk mean, V'yisa Rak L'mayla, you'll be on top, V'roisi L'mata, and you won't be on the bottom. It's very hard to be on the bottom if you're on top. And if you're at the bottom, you're not on the top. So what does the Pasuk mean? You'll be on top and not on the bottom. So it's sort of the same idea. A person could be L'mayla, but which direction is he headed in? Is he headed in? So the person has Hatzlacha. He has the Bracha. He's L'mayla, he's on top, but he's not careful with what he has. Or he doesn't know how to use it the right way. And what happens? That brings him L'mata. That brings him all the way down. So the Pasuk promises us, V'hayisa rak l'mayla. You'll be only l'mayla. Every bracha that I give you, you'll be able to use it the right way. You'll be able to use it properly for avodas Hashem, to do mitzvahs, to learn, to do chesed. V'loy si l'mata. And you're not going to end up going down. It's not going to bring you down. V'hayisa rak l'mayla. The brachas will bring you only up. V'loy si l'mata. The brachas don't bring us down. Okay. We all have our situations in life. Sometimes things are working out very well. You have to be very careful when things are working out well that we don't use it sometimes to bring ourselves down. Bikurim, the side of Bikurim, the Sfar Mobinas Hakaras HaTayv. A person, what's the whole foundation of Bikurim? Hakaras HaTayv. You make a Tayv to Hashem, appreciation, Shvach Vaido, for the payers that Hashem gave us. We go out to the field. The fruits grow. We thank Hashem by offering Bikurim, the first of the fruits, to Hashem. Somebody once came to the Nesiva Sholem and asked him, how could I show my thanks to Hashem? Kadosh Baruch Hu did for me a great nes, and I want to show my appreciation, my shvach l'ido to Hashem. What should I do? Should I open up a gemach? Should I do chesed? Should I learn? What should I do? How should I show my appreciation and say thank you to Hashem? And the Nesiva Sholem said to him, if you listen to me, you do nothing at all. Don't do anything at all. And he said to him, do nothing at all, but I want to show my appreciation. So the Nesiva Sholem said, let me explain what I mean. If you're going to do something, you're going to fail, you fulfill the obligation of thanking Hashem. You're going to think, I said my thank you, and life moves on. I don't know anymore. I opened up the gemach, finished. I said thank you Hashem, the score is even. You did me a chesed, I did you a chesed, the score is even, I don't owe you anymore. So the Sima Shalom, Chas V'Shalom, to think like that. A person can never pay back the chesed that Hashem does. If you ask me, don't do anything at all. And just the opposite. Wake up every morning and say, what can I do today? I owe Hashem a great thanks. I owe Shvach Vaidah to Hashem. What can I do to show my Shvach Vaidah to Hashem? And this way, your whole life, you'll constantly be expressing your Shvach Vaidah to Hashem. Going back a little bit to the parasha, Perichav Zayin, Pasuk Tes Vov, we find by Hagrizim and Harevo, Pasuk tells us, Va'onu cho ha'om, va'omru amen. Everybody answered, and they said amen. And even though the Pasuk only mentions the Arus, the Kolois, Arur, Rashi tells us that they said Baruch also. First they said Baruch, blessed the person who keeps the Torah, and all of the mitzvahs that are mentioned, and everybody answered amen. And then they said the Arus, all of the Kolois, and they answered amen. We know answering amen is a tremendous inyan. The Gemara tells us, Aina amen is Gadol Mevarach. The one who answers amen is greater, Gadol Ha'ina amen Yosef Mevarach. The one who answers amen is greater than the one who makes the bracha. The one who says the bracha sort of starts the shvach. The one who answers amen gives a stamp of approval, and he finalizes, he seals the bracha, says answering amen is greater than the one who actually says the bracha himself. The Aina amen is so great. Amen, among many others, stands for Keir Melech Neman. He's showing his loyalty, his nemanus and Hashem. Tremendous inyan to answer Amen to a bracha. Maybe I said the story over. Rabbi Eliyahu Lapyan once was traveling from Yerushalayim to Haifa. And he was on a train, traveling from Yerushalayim to Haifa. And suddenly onto the train comes a whole bunch of policemen. The Mishnara comes onto the train. And Rabbi Eliyahu Lapyan had gone to the Beis HaKisei, and he wanted to make a bracha of Asher Yatzah. And he wanted someone to answer Amen. He saw all the policemen around, he went over to one and he said, I want to ask you a favor. We're all here on the train, do me a favor. I'm going to make a bracha, and I want you to call together your whole chevra, we have a minyan, and I want everyone to answer Amen to my bracha. Rabbi, it's not going to work. We don't.
We're busy.
We, you know, this is not for us. It's fine for you. Go into your corner, make your bracha, but that's not for us. And Rabbi Yon said, "Please, I'm asking you a favor. I won't bother you again. Just answer Amen. Answer Amen to the bracha." And the policeman saw that he was very serious. And Rabbi Yon had a nice tzurah. He said, "Okay, I'll see what I can do." And the policeman thought to himself, "No. I'll mention it to the others, no one's going to listen, but I'll come back on myself, at least I'll answer Amen to his bracha, I'll feel okay." So he goes to the rest of his chaver, the policeman, he says, "Listen, there's this old rabbi here, he wants to make a bracha, answer Amen, Asher Yotza, Ahu, Asher Wat, a bracha." They didn't know too much. Anyway, he talks to them back and forth, and finally they all agree to go along. Not so much to answer Amen, but rather to see the show. Sounds like something exciting is going to happen. So the whole, all the policemen come around Rebellion of Yan, they start to say the bracha Asher Yotza. And he says it very slowly, every word, with his eyes closed, and his face turns red, and they're sort of entranced by the way he says the bracha, and they're listening to every word, and they're getting ready to answer Amen. He finishes the bracha, Raifei Chobosom, Afri Lasois, and they all scream out loud, aloud Amen. Aloud Amen. After Amen, they walk away, the policemen walk away. Nobody realized that when the bracha was being said, the answering Amen, the train suddenly came to a stop. Nobody realized the train suddenly stopped. They walk away from the Amen, and they sit down, and suddenly they all realize the train's not moving. What happened? So the policeman run to the front, him and her. It turns out that the train stopped. The engineer had seen something ahead on the tracks just in time. He had stopped. And after all the investigations and the chakiris and drishis, terrorists had planted a bomb on the tracks. And the train had stopped just in time beforehand.
Amen.
And the train stopped just at that time when they answered Amen. They all came back and they expressed their appreciation and so on. And hopefully there were chayes of tshuva afterwards. Okay. Anyway, it's like nice. Okay. Koyach of an Amen. The Ben Ashchayes is over a very nice marshal. Because the Ben Ashchayes, I think we said this all. Ben Ashchayes is over a beautiful marshal. One day the news spreads throughout the town. The king is coming. The king is coming to the city. And of course, the whole city starts their preparations in order to honor the king. Yes, and they start putting up banners, and they plan a parade, and the music, and the whole festivities in honor of the king. There's a little boy who lives in the town, and a little bit of a mischievous child, a wild child. And his mother says, "Yanko, listen, the king is coming tomorrow. And make sure when the king is in town, no trouble at all. Sure. Don't behave. You have to behave. No trouble at all when the king is in town." "Yes, mommy. I'll behave." And the boy is so excited the king's coming, he can't contain himself. He runs outside with a pot and a pan. He starts screaming, "Long live the king!" And he gathers together his friends, and he has a whole parade of the kids marching through the streets. "Long live the king," up and down the streets, a whole day in advance, they're marching up and down, screaming, "Long live the king." Okay. Finally, the big day arrives, and the people are all lined up on the side of the road, and the king's carriage comes into view, and it's traveling down the road. And this little boy is standing on the side, and of course he can't sit still, and curiosity gets the better of him, and he says to himself, "Oh, the king's carriage, it's shiny, it's nice. I wonder what it would sound like if a rock hit the carriage. What kind of noise would it make if a rock hit the carriage?" And as the king comes closer, he pulls out a slingshot from his pocket, takes a shot, bullseye, he hits the carriage, and does it make a noise? It makes a loud noise. And the soldiers jump, and they run off in the direction of the noise, and they chop the little boy for throwing the rock, shooting the rock at the king's carriage. They bring the boy before the king, and the prosecutor has no rachmanis at all, and he says the boy deserves to be killed. Threw a rock at the king. What audacity he has, what nerve he has, this boy deserves to be killed. And the defense lawyer says, "But wait a minute. This boy, he really loves the king. This boy really cares about the king. It's just that he's a wild child, and his curiosity got the best of him, so he threw a rock to hear what it sounds like." And the prosecutor says, "Can you prove that he likes the king? Do you have any proof?" And they say, "Yes. The whole day yesterday, he was marching up and down the streets of the town singing, 'Long live the king.'" And they call all the friends in, and they all verify that the whole day yesterday, they were marching with him up and down the streets, screaming, "Long live the king." and the king saves his life. Says the Ben Ishchai, the same is true. What happens with us? The king comes, you have Elul, Rosh Hashanah, the king comes. And we try our best, but sometimes the Eitz Sahara gets a hold of us. And we let that rock go. We do that Aveda. We let that rock go. And we do the Aveda. We know it's wrong. We know we shouldn't do it. But we can't sit still. And we let that rock go. And we do the Aveda. What chutzpah we had. The king is here. The king's carriage. We do an Aveda in front of the king. The prosecutor says, that's it. It's over. And then the defender comes and says, one minute. But these people, they couldn't sit still. It wasn't their fault. The Yetzer Hara. They really love the king. Do you have proof? Of course I have proof. Because every day in shul, three times a day, they answer Amen. Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. They praise the great name of Hashem. Baruch Hashem and Baruch. They bless Hashem. The whole day they scream, long live the king. Just that now the Yetzer Hara got a hold of them and they went ahead and they did the Aveda. Answering Amen is a tremendous kayach. Answering Amen was showing that Kei HaMelech Neman was showing our Nemanus, our love towards Hashem when we answer Amen, Baruch Hu, Kedusha, Kaddish. Especially comes in Chodesh Elul, with Avim B'tzibur, answer Amen, Kaddish, Kedusha, a little louder. One who answers Yehei Shmei Rabbah Chol Kai Chai, Kairin rips up a Gezerah of Shiv Mishon of 70 years. The person has a tremendous opportunity and Fakert. It'll be an answer when the Sultan's Makatreg, it'll be an answer by saying, look, they were saying a whole day in shul, long live the king. In the Chevron Yeshiva, going back, there was once a Bach who came from a town in Russia. He came into the Chevron Yeshiva. And it was Elul time. And the Bachram asked him, tell us, in your hometown in Russia, what do they say about Elul? Your town, let's see where you come from. What do they say about Elul in your hometown? In the Haim. What do they say about Elul? And the Bacha said the following. He said, somebody who works with metal, knows you can't leave metal outside. If you leave it outside, it rains, and the metal turns rusty. Metal turns rusty, you can't use it anymore. So you have to bring the metal, put it inside. You can't leave pieces of metal outside. But not always can you bring it inside. Sometimes there's no room, it's not possible, and you end up leaving some outside. And what happens? It gets wet, and from being outside, it turns rusty. But not all the time, if the metal becomes rusty, doesn't mean the metal can't be used. It depends. Sometimes the rust could be just on top, the outer layer, but the rust doesn't go through and through. And sometimes the metal becomes so corroded and so rusty, the rust goes through and through, and the metal can't be used at all. How can you tell? How do you know by looking at a piece of metal whether the rust is only on the outside or the rust goes through and through? You have to take a magnet. You take a magnet and you hold the metal next to the magnet. If the magnet attracts the metal, then you know it's not all corroded. It's not all rusty. It's just on the outside, but the metal is still there because the magnet attracts the metal. But if it's so corroded and so rusty that the magnet can't attract the metal, then you know the metal is ruined. He said, in my town, we say, that's Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is the magnet. Hashem gave us this magnet once a year to attract us, to bring us back to Him. Throughout the year, we become rusty. We do Averis. We become rusty throughout the year. How rusty are we? Chodesh Elul is the test. Chodesh Elul is the magnet. If we feel Chodesh Elul attracting us, we feel the month of Elul pulling us closer to Hashem, then we know that the rust is only on the outside. But inside, the pintalier, the metal is still there. If a person is so corroded and so rusty, he doesn't even feel the attraction of Chodesh Elul. He doesn't feel Chodesh Elul pulling him towards Hashem. And that person is rusty through and through, and he has a long job ahead of him.
He has to work harder.
We all become rusty throughout the year. Our various turn us rusty. But how rusty are we? We feel. Does Chodesh Elul penetrate through? Are we able to feel it or not? So holding now by Chodesh Elul, Yemei Aslichus, Mosh Shabbos already start Slichus for Ashkenazim. Sfaradim already been saying Slichus, we start Slichus. Take advantage. We have a chance, instead of already, I hear people saying, I have to get up early next week, I'm gonna do it. Instead of Baruch Hashem, we have a chance to say Slichus, a chance to be able to daven extra, ask Hashem for Rachmanis, Kani Chirosh, like a poor man knocking by the door, asking for Rachmanis. Take the opportunity that we have, instead of complaining about it, instead of being upset about it, how rusty are we? Let's be happy that we have the opportunity and that we're able to become close to Hashem during the Yimei Slichas. And I said this all many times, I'll say it again. We daven in Rosh Hashanah, we start saying, Zochreinu Achayim, Merchavet Bachayim, Dechosveinu Maseif Achayim, Aman Chalakim Chayim. And Ramillah said over, how could a person come and ask for life this year if he didn't say thank you to Hashem for the life that he gave him last year? Hashem gave you life last year. You're a year later now. You look back, now you know what last year's din was. Everything that happened this year was already decided last year. And now that the year is at an end, you have the whole cheshbon, it's all in front of you what happened. And all you come and say is, Zochreinu Achayim, life, life, where's the thank you from last year? First you say, like a mensch, thank you for last year. And after you say thank you for last year, then you have a right to go ahead and ask for Achayim for another year. If someone does you a favor, somebody lent you money, and you want to borrow money again, you can't just keep asking, lend. You have to say thank you, show your appreciation, and then you can ask again. First you show your appreciation for Chaim that Hashem gave last year, and then you can ask for the Chaim that Hashem, Mitzvah Hashem, will give us all this year, and good Kiddushin.